Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. In recent weeks, there have been a number of important developments surrounding the governor's plan to have a single-payer health care system in Vermont in 2017. And here to discuss them with us is VPR's healthcare analyst, Ham Davis. Hi, Ham. Great to have you here.
Good morning, Bob. Nice to be here.
So, Ham, last week the governor announced that he was not going to unveil a menu of options for financing a single-payer health care system this year. And Act 48, the state's health care law, actually called on the governor to provide a list of options on January 15th of 2013, but the governor pushed that off and said he would outline some options this winter. But now that's not going to happen, and the governor says he won't have a financing proposal until at least the 2015 session. Some lawmakers are upset about that decision. They want to know what the financing landscape looks like. Others seem to be relieved because they see this as a huge political liability in the 2014 election. So tell us, why did Shumlin decide to wait on this issue? What do you think the key factors were?
I think it's really simpler than it looks. I think what happened with the Shumlin options is what he realized is that there was no way that he could, in the time frame he had, no way that he could get done what he had to do, which is to demonstrate that he had a system in place that could reliably contain costs. It just couldn't be done. Leaving aside whether he put the options out, put us financing options out now, the fact was that the only reason to have the options now is if you were going to vote on those options in 2015, which was indeed his plan. And he announced that. He talked about it. He referred to it for a couple of years. But the reality was that taking a vote on a huge tax bill when you really have not yet been able to demonstrate that you can control the costs in the system would be just dangerous. And I think that I don't think it was a political move. I think it was that his senior staff, his team, his health policy team told him that they couldn't get evidence. They could not demonstrate even to themselves, let alone a skeptical legislature or a skeptical press or a skeptical public, that they could control costs.
Well, let's fast forward a year. Let's say we're a year from right now. It's March of 2015. Is he going to have that data that he needs to show that cost containment works?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think he said that he was going to pick a specific date. But the piece that I've written for the VPR website lays out, I think, the evidence or the case that you cannot get a real fix on whether you can control the cost until 2016. That probably pushes an implementation date back from 2017, although it's not absolutely necessary, but that is the likelihood.
I was going to say, if you push back discussion of the financing package from 2014 to 2015 or 2016, doesn't that inevitably push the implementation date of 2017 back a year or two?
Well, I think it will. I mean, I think it will push it back at least 1 year. But it's hard to say. But I think the rock bottom minimum that you need to know is you need to see hard evidence that you can control costs. And the only the first piece of hard evidence won't be available until 2015. But that will only be one data point. It'll take you to 2016 to get two data points, and one data point is really worthless. Can be anywhere. So I just think that the fundamental problem in healthcare reform really is not the finance, even the whole financing. The key to the healthcare reform, you just simply can't have it unless you can control costs. That is just simply the reality. And I think there's a reason, I think, Bob, why Shumlin took so long to come to this is that his original plan was based, practically speaking, on the thought that he could get the waivers he needed from the federal government much easier in a Barack Obama administration than he could get anywhere else. I think he was really fixated on that. And he stuck to his guns for quite a long time in his team, trying to keep hoping that he could push the system, the process fast enough so that he could get it done, so that he could get it done before Barack Obama leaves office. Obama leaves office, as we know, in 2017. So I think what happened is that he just more and more got trapped by the reality where people would just – his senior people would tell him it can't be done this fast.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that you don't think that there were political motivations involved here, because there's some people over at the legislature, even some House Democratic leaders, mm-hmm. who say they didn't want to have a menu of options this winter. It was the worst thing in the world. They saw their legislative candidates going out on the campaign trail this fall, having to defend what some of those options were. And they thought that that was the absolutely worst possible situation. So politics involved in this a little bit?
There's no question that Shap Smith, who's critical to the success of any legislative dimension to health care reform, no matter how you cut it, absolutely did not want his people to have to go out in the 2014 election defending a complex piece of financing when they couldn't also answer the question of whether it was safe to do it in the first place. Not only that, in the 2014 campaign, even if they were for it, and we're talking now about Democrats because they control both chambers of the legislature, then they'd be in a position where they'd have to be debating the details of a financing plan. Those details could change. It would just be a huge, huge mess. And one of the factors I thought was critical, and I thought that Shumlin should have paid attention to it earlier, was that Shap Smith was very unhappy about how this thing was sort of how it was timed, what the scheduling was. And that's why he hired his own consultant. He was really concerned about where this whole thing was headed. And I think that the political factor with Pete Shumlin always matters. But what pushed him over the edge was not that whether Democratic legislators will get in trouble politically, but that his senior team, and his team is one of the best in the country, they just kept trying to figure out, can this be done on this schedule? And they all came up with the answer no. And at that point, I don't think Pete had any choice.
You mentioned the importance of getting a waiver from the federal government. And in 2017, we don't know who's going to be president. I mean, what's the likelihood that Vermont gets down this road and in the winter of 2017 is ready to pull the trigger on a single payer system? And a Republican president says, not so fast.
Oh, well, I'm not sure that a Republican president would, if it's a Republican president, that person would say not so fast. I think the more likely answer would be no way. So I don't think anybody knows that. I don't think there's any way to know that. And that fact, I think, is what is probably today still haunting the governor, is that he really knew that he could get what he needed from Obama. He's close to Obama. And Obama has to love Vermont when it comes to health care reform. It's a state that's dominated by Democrats. It's got the most full-throated support from any governor in the country. And we're ahead of Obamacare, even as so far as we've gone now. There's no way to tell what will happen in 2017 as a Republican president.
We're going to be following this issue in the weeks and months and perhaps years to come. VPR's healthcare analyst, Ham Davis, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Bob.
The debate intensified at the State House over the paid sick leave bill. The St. Johnsbury School Board tried to garner support for its budget revote. Vernon residents sought to restore funding for their police department. Milk prices for farmers hit record highs. And Mother Nature dropped a late winter snowstorm on the area. These are some of the voices in the news this week.
Yes, the business community has some legitimate concerns because it's new for them, but the concerns do not match reality, because what do you get in return? What do you get in return for treating your employees well?
The value of the St. J. School working so that by eighth grade, the students here were equal to those who had begun way above in terms of testing further around the state.
The vote was 118 to 112, so there were 230 people in attendance out of the 1,600-plus voters that we have in town. We need to have a larger constituency there to make a decision of this magnitude.
California, the far west, usually can really crank production up quickly, but there's not a lot of feed available, and what is extremely expensive. Things will change. The Midwest got a lot of snow this winter. The drought conditions should get alleviated. So, you know, the milk prices go up, production increases, milk prices go down.
You can find links to these stories on our website, vpr.net. That's our show for today. Monday on the program, eating disorders. There are very few treatment options available in the state for people who struggle with this difficult condition. Have you or someone in your family had an eating disorder? Send your comments or questions to vermontedition@vpr.net and join us Monday at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Sengary, and Sage Van Wing. We have production assistance from Tim Johnson and Devin Karambulis. Peter Biello directed the show. Our executive director is John Van Hoosen. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend.